Happy Feast of Trumpets. I had to think about it. Sabbath, whatever. You get up here and your thoughts are going. But no, that was just amazing. When we hit that verse later, if you guys could sing it again, it'd be really good. But boy. Well, my wife's not here. She's over in Dayton, hanging out with the other two girls right now, so that are in Cincinnati, but they're all meeting over there for the feast. So it's kind of like, where's my wife? So no marriage problems, just busy. When you got four kids, you're all over the place, and we're just blessed down there. So I'm a little intimidated. First we had a shofar, which, wow, that was good, and I can't do that. Then we had trumpets, so I had to do this. Can you hear it? That wasn't very loud. Can you hear it? Okay, I'm going to do it one more time. That's about as good as I'm going to get. But weak, I know. So imagine the total opposite. That's what trumpets is going to be like. But honestly, I put it on, that's the Sherwood Forest sound on Apple, but I put that on my phone. And I was like, we need to be reminded of the meaning of trumpets more, and not just on trumpets. And I was like, I'm into one of those guys that practical things to keep reminding me, because I get so busy. But I was like, I think it's a neat idea. But it does play louder, but except for up here. When I was at the seat, I accidentally hit it. I'm like, oh no. But hey, we're running away with time, so I better get going. So for titles, A Time to Shout for Joy and Wake Up. A Time to Shout for Joy and Wake Up. The Feast of Trumpet pictures, I better stay near the microphone. The Feast of Trumpet pictures such an amazing, exciting future time. For many reasons, when we turn to the book of Revelations, there's so many sequences of monumental events, devastating events that'll happen that are started at the sound of a trumpet, seven of them. And these are devastating to humanity, the humbling to teach man, hey, this evil way doesn't work, and trying to get humanity to repent. The seventh angel blowing of the last trumpet signifies when Jesus will come down and start his kingdom. We can't even imagine that. But his government, not just one place, but everywhere on earth. Jesus comes to defeat the many armies. Not, people are like, I can't believe God would be that mean. But in our Bible study today, we were talking about that too. But no. He's trying to humble them so he can work with them. He's trying to prevent man from killing off everybody with nuclear war, with chemical war, Satan's way. It's a love to try to wake us up, this world. The world is in so much pain right now, physically, mentally, spiritually. I mean, so much anxiety, so much depression. They don't have the hope of God's plan right now. Imagine if we could hear all the pain that's going around this world right this second. The people, women that are being abused, the children that are. I mean, you would be praying even more fervent. I don't know how God does it to hear his children in such pain. He wants us all to be there and to wake up. The other part it depicts about that divine transformation. Those who have repented and are baptized and received the Holy Spirit will be changed immortal. Wow. Immortal. We'll go through some of those verses now, but it's just like we read through some of these verses and people that have been in the church for a long time, and it's easy just to read over them. I was just thinking when we were hearing this great music behind us to read some of these verses with trumpets playing behind you. I'm a visual learner and sounds and stuff. God made us learn different ways, but just try a different way to read the scriptures so it comes more alive. This is a day to try things like that, to meditate on the words and say, and just close your eyes. That's what I like to do when we're doing the special music, which was really good, thank you, today, and just think about, focus everything else out, and think about all the blessings you've had this year. But do that same thing with the verses that talk about trumpets. Read through it, and then just meditate on them. And think how thankful, how blessed we are to know this plan. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 15, and we'll repeat some verses, but it's okay. But just ask God as we're reading these to guide us with His Holy Spirit to make it come even more alive so we can appreciate it even more. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, as the last trumpet, as the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, this is written, death is swallowed up, victory. And this day pictures that in a part when it's swallowed up for all those saints that have died and all those saints that are turned into immortal. Immortality scares my one daughter. It scared me as growing up. But the more you read about it, thinking living forever in this body, yeah. But asking God as we're reading this, if we are a little scared of immortality sometimes, help me understand it better. And God's Holy Spirit will inspire you and give you that peace. When I talk about swallowing up death a little bit there for those of the first fruits and then later for everybody with the other resurrections, you know, lately we've been going through a lot of funerals. And you just think about how joyful we're going to be reunited when that death is swallowed up and people know God's plan. It's not being tortured forever, no. It's being reunited with your loved ones and taught the right way, God's way of love. It's awesome. You turn to Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. We can think how we'd feel when we listen to this verse, when we read it. And I want to read it when I get home, or maybe on the way home with some trumpets in the background. Or listen again to the song that you guys just sang forever and ever. It just comes alive. So thank you again for all that work to make that music special and make this holy day even better. And verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. A government of loving and serving, peace, looking out for each other. We need to pray and anticipate this even more. Make it come alive. Read it over. Read it in several translations, these verses. Let them come alive to you and give you that peace and that hope of how exciting this day is. No one's sleeping. A lot of times some people fall asleep when I'm speaking. But no one's sleeping on trumpets. If they heard this sound, yes. But this day, no one is. They're waking up. They're chilled to the bone. I mean, the goosebumps on top of goosebumps in a good way. In a scary way in some places, too. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 17. More joyful, more very loud shouts. 1 Thessalonians 4, and I guess we'll start in 15. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet Him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will live, we will be with the Lord forever, forever and ever. On the way down, we listened to a song. It's called Greatest American Hero. And it talks about walking on air. And it was like, man, this is kind of, it was in a trumpets mode. It was like, I didn't realize how much this was kind of like that. So it's not biblical, but it was really uplifting little song. And I was just thinking on trumpets. I was probably going to apply everything to trumpets when I'm listening, when you're studying it. But I don't know. It's just a side point that is not in my notes. But I liked it, and it got me in a good mood on the way down here. So just sharing that with you guys. But this is a holy convocation today. It's a special day to think about and thank God and to wake up. Let's turn to Leviticus. Well, you don't even have to turn there. We've already read this before. Leviticus 23, 24. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation, coming together united, thinking about how we would be when Christ comes back, united back. The Feast of Trumpets, when we were talking about... The sermonette was talking about the word teru and what that means, shouting, loud noise. And I was listening to a sermon by Mr. Weber. He's like, you know, this could be called the Feast of Shouting. Could be of loud noises. That's kind of my middle name, Loud Noise. And I was like, this is my kind of feast. Loud, shouting, cheering. If you've ever been at a game with me, that I do that. I'm full of joy. See my girls out there playing, but way more. Take that to another extreme. The exhilaration of being spirit. I'm already a little hyper. So I'm zooming from Pluto and back and all over the place. You know, once you turn into spirit being, I don't know. It just gets you in a good feeling. God's way works. No more pain. No more back in the morning feeling 200. And then the next thing I feel 20 mentally. But no more of that. Being able to go that fast to help and serve others for eternity. Help that lady opening the door. You're there in China. And then you're back. It's just how you could use it in a good way. This is the way my brain works, so sorry about that. But I just thinking of different things that you could do with it and make them smile. That's God's way. And being reunited on this day with people. Think of somebody. Take a second. Think of somebody in the church that has died in the faith that you're going to be reunited with. They're not being tortured or anything. They're sleeping. This is an awesome plan. I just think of my parents getting to know their grandkids and see how ornery they were. And they see how ornery I was. And reunited. This is a joyful day beyond you can imagine. Being reunited for the first time with Jesus. Wow. I'm a hugger, so I'd hug him. It's right away. I just am. And that comfort he would give us. At the seventh trump comes at the end of this, a year-long day of the Lord. At the end of that 3.5-year period, of that end of the tribulation. Imagine how joyful it's going to be after 3.5 years of tribulation. Saying, that's done. Let's turn to Matthew 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21 shows how bad the tribulation is going to be. When that's done, there's going to be a lot of joy. Us coming out of the place of safety is like, yes, finally, no more manna. No, just kidding. I don't know what it is. I'll be happy for whatever. I will be happy for whatever. Sorry, my brain thinks about stuff like this. And verse 21. For there will be greater anguish than at any time since the world began, and it will never be so great again. In fact, unless the time of calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive, but it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones. We don't need to fear this. We know God is going to be there with us to help us through this. He's never going to forsake us. There's going to be so much joy when this war is over and we're starting to teach God's way of real love, real outgoing concern, and serving. So much of the trumpets were focused on what's going to happen, which is awesome. But we got to be focusing on what are we doing now to be there. And it was neat. Mr. Creech's message ended with one of the main verses that I'm going to be talking about. It's how things coincide. If you're here for the Bible study, it worked out good. But it's a wake-up call. Tiffany gave me some inspiration about this message. And when I was writing it, she was staying overnight at one of her friend's house, and the alarm went off one of their phones, which was louder than mine. And it just kept going off and off, and it was annoying her, but pretty soon you could just kind of tune it out, and she just kind of, okay, I'll go to bed. The girl wasn't opening it. But that can happen with the trumpet message, too. We've heard it so many times. He's going to come next. He's going to come. He's coming. And you can become numb to this warning. And we can't do that. My purpose today is let's use the Feast of Trumpets message as a reminder to take some time to shout at ourselves, to wake up spiritually. Come on, Joel. Wake up. Every one of us has a spot where we need to be working on. Wake up. We don't know when Christ is going to come. Make sure we're prepared for Christ's glorious, amazing return at the seventh trump. God wants us to be there so badly. So badly. Just imagine him saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You just think about that. Not, I don't know you. That gives you real chills that we don't want to even think about. And that's why we're trying to tell each other right now, shout at yourself, not in a bad way, but man, God wants us to be there. We want each one of us to be there together. Be there for each other. Help each other. There's two things we need to be doing to help make sure we're ready for Christ's return, the seventh trump, that joyful time. Let's turn to Luke 31, verse 36. Luke 31, verse 36. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I like the New Living Translation also. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these things coming, the horrors that stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray fervently and regularly. This trumpet message should be shouting to all of us. Wake up spiritually. Come on, Joel. Come on. You put your name there. Write it down. There's spots we need to keep working on it. Don't just read over these verses. We don't want to be there during these horrors and going through that. Watch and pray now. I looked in BibleHub.com, and when you talk about to watch, it means to stay awake to spiritual conditions, to world events. The Greek word is Gregorio, Gregorio, which similarly means to stay awake, to be sleepless. It usually means metaphorically to, in a spiritual sense, to be vigilant, to be on guard, to be fully awake, to be alert of what's happening in our spiritual lives and where we need help, and to be honest and going to God and start overcoming. It should be shouting at us today to get us fired up spiritually. So the first point is we need to be watching and praying in regards to our lives, reminding ourselves daily judgment is on God's people now. Daily judgment is on God's people now. And the time is close. If you're not reminding yourself, like putting it on your phone to remind you every day, hey, trumpets is around the corner with that sound. But it's seriously, we have to. Turn to 1 Peter 4:17. It's got to be on our mind from the beginning of the day. Not in a fearful way, but just like, I've got work to do. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. That's us right now. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him and doing good as a faithful creator. As to a faithful creator. We need to be a part of that, doing good. Knowing that the time is close. Turn back to Revelation 14, verse 6, please. Revelation 14, verse 6. And I'm sorry if I'm wearing out your fingers, but there's so many good verses that we need to be thinking about. Loud voice, and an hour of judgment has come. And in verse 6, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. For worshiping him who made heaven and earth and the sea and springs and water. We need to be worshiping and glorifying God now. That judgment is coming quick. Talks in the Bible about being like an unexpected thief in the night when we're not expecting it. God, Jesus will return. So we got to keep on alert. That's this day. It's got to keep reminding us. We have to be alert to where we need to keep working and overcoming. Now, not later. It's great to look to the future, but we've got business to do now. Turn to Romans 13, verse 11 and 14. Romans 13, and verse 11. This is all the more urgent that you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds and dirty clothes and put on shining armor of right living, because we belong to the day and we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't practice in darkness, wild parties, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, and immoral living, or in quarreling, or in jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge in your evil desires. Got to control our thoughts on the outside. Think about it. I like leaving a message with homework. Write down, think in your brain for a second, what's one area I want to work on? What's one little area? If you don't write it down, it doesn't happen. You don't have to write it down here, but write it down to start working on it today, now. Because Christ's return comes as a thief in the night. We want to be ready. Second point. Let's be watching and praying in regards to reading and applying the Bible. Reading and applying the Bible to help us bear fruit of overcoming. It's kind of a mouthful. Reading and applying the Bible. Asking God, help me wake up to that. So I can bear more fruit. So I can overcome. Not just listen to it. Not just read over it. But think about how each verse when we're reading it applies to us. And how we can apply it that day. God called us to bear fruit. To grow spiritually. To overcome. And if we're not passionately reading daily and thinking about and putting God's word in us, we're going to lead away. We're going to fall asleep. It's not that urgent. No, it's got to be loud and sounding to us now. If we love God's commandment, we're going to obey him, but we have to have it internalized in us. Pray before we're reading. You know, have that. Pray and watching. God says, that's one of our big weapons. Pray before we read the Bible. We have to be productive servants, spiritually, serving with every opportunity. Keep in mind, we can't do anything good without God's help. Having him guide us. Turn to John 15, verse 5, if you would. John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. This is why we have to pray and ask God to stir up that Holy Spirit to guide us when we're reading, to inspire us to see our faults and where we can emulate Christ more and where we're not. There's that synergistic. Can't just ask God, stir up that spirit if we're not reading. They both go together. God's spirit can help us to desire to overcome. Gives you that motivation. That willpower, because, you know, it's like you say, I have more self-control. No, we need to have more God control. We need to ask for God's Holy Spirit to be guiding us, to say, my self-control is going to let down. It's going to not work. I'm going to lead into temptation and go back to what I don't want to. But with God's help, anything. But we have to be asking for it. We have to stir that up and watch. Luke 13, the parable of the fig tree. God is requiring us to be bearing fruit. And when we're reading the Bible and ask and apply it, we will. Jesus speaks here in chapter 6 and verse 9. Chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 6. Chapter 13, verse 6 in Luke. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper in the vineyard, look, for 3 years I've been seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it and it bears fruit well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. Christ is our advocate. He's our merciful judge. But there comes a time we need to be bearing that fruit. And by reading God's Bible and asking him to help us to do that, it'll help prepare us for Christ's return. Third point is watching and preparing in regards to letting no one deceive me. Letting no one deceive me. As we get closer to Christ's return, that's one of our greatest dangers. We face becoming deceived as Satan tries to trick us. It's repeated over and over. Be careful. If we turn to Matthew 24:4 about being deceived. Matthew 24, verse 4. Watch out. And in verse 4 it says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. We can't think it's going to be somebody else that's deceived. We've got to be praying and asking daily, God, please help me so I'm not deceived. Please help me and use me. Don't have to go there, but Psalms 120, verse 12, David says, in my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, Lord, from lying lips and deceitful tongues. We need to put that in our prayers. That's a big thing. In the end, there will be so many half-truths. The Bereans, which I love that. That's what the young Bereans is what we call. I don't know. Do they call the young Bereans the youth group down here too? Okay. But up north in Fort Wayne, they call them the young Bereans. But in there, it's about searching the scriptures daily so you're not deceived. To find out whether these things were so. And that's in Acts 17:11. Searching. Listening to ministers and then saying, I don't know if I agree with that. Look up the verses. Ministers, people speaking are not perfect. We need to be listening. How does it apply to us? But with a discerning, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Thinking about what does God say? What do, not what just people says, but back up everything with what God says. So we're not deceived. In Acts 20, Jesus warns us, verse 29 through 31. Acts 20, 29 through 31. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves, Jesus was talking here, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and also among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, watch, and remember that for these 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day of these terrors. Jesus was concerned for his flock, his people. For 3.5 years, he was warning them. We are being warned. We need to be praying, stirring up, and watching out for that. Fourth point. Let's be watching and praying for protection from Satan. For protection from Satan. Do we put that in our prayers daily? Physically, but spiritually. Turn to Matthew 26, verse 41. Matthew 26, verse 41. Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Christ is there for us. But Satan is out there too. Every trumpet he hears, he knows it's 1 year closer to when he loses. And Christ takes over, and his government, loving government, takes over and makes him mad. He wants to tempt us. He knows our weaknesses. You can just write this down. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. We know this. The warning, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I have a big picture of a lion in my desk where I study. He looks kind of ferocious, I think. But I look at it, Jesus is referred to a lion, but there's also Satan is referred to a lion. Jesus is the stronger one, the bigger one, but we can't underestimate. We got to stay close to that stronger lion. And it's just, I'm a visual person, it just reminds me, I need all the help I can get. The stakes are higher than ever, and we're closer than ever, and there's going to be more and more pressure. Can't take it light. We need to be submitting to God, drawing closer like we were talking here in Bible study, because God promises if we draw close to Him, Satan is going to flee. We got to draw close to Him. That's a promise, we can call on that. Promise. We're at war every day and we hear these trumpets, and that was one of the sounds, that trumpet, when they would go to war. We're in spiritual war every day. And one of the good Bibles says, I want to go back through and maybe turn it into a message of the studying in the full armor, you know, putting on faith, putting on the belt, truth, all those. How can I apply those daily? Because we need to every day. Let's turn to the model prayer, how God is teaching us how to pray. And it talks about Satan in there. Matthew 6, verse 9, Matthew 6 and verse 9, it says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy, may your kingdom come soon. We're praying for that so much. And the feast is just around the corner. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. That needs to be a part of that daily. Sometimes I think I pray about that more for my kids, and then I'm like, man, I need it too. We all do. But have confidence. Jesus is the more powerful lion. Also, we need to be watching and praying in regards to spreading the gospel. Be stirred up about spreading the gospel. We need to be vigilant, you know, in regards to our own spiritual conditions, but a part of our commission is in Mark 16, verse 5. Mark 16, verse 5. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a part of it, to wake up the world, to be a witness. Are we putting all we can into that, into our example? You don't have to do a sermon, but you need to live one every day when we're out and about. A lot of people spend too much time thinking about, when is Christ going to be returning? No. Jesus is talking in Acts 1, 7 through 8. Acts 1, if you turn there. Acts 1, 7 through 8. He's talking about to his disciples, don't worry about that. You're not going to know the time of when. But in verse 7 it says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive the power the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judah, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Using that Holy Spirit to be a better witness. And stirring that up and watching and praying and asking God for that help to be that kind of witness. I'm going to be doing a sermon on loving your enemy in the feast. And I just think that's one of the biggest witnesses we can be. When someone is treating you wrong at work, someone is treating you wrong, or even your husband or wife. Sometimes we're nicer to people outside the church, but we're not as forgiving and loving inside the church sometimes. We need to be. I think that's one of the biggest witnesses when that person is doing everything wrong and you're praying for them and you're doing good for them. Spreading the gospel. It's such an important thing. And asking God to help spreading the gospel to bear fruit. And to bring in more into the church. Sometimes in the United News, they put in places where you can pray about spreading the gospel, where they're having paper shortages, where they're having issues about spreading the gospel in certain areas. We need to not just read over that, we need to pray about it and say, help them, remove those barriers. Help guide the people that are deciding where we're using the money and everything to have the most fruit, to bring in the most people. We want more people called now. If you turn to Isaiah 13, we think about how bad it's going to be. It should bring into our compassion. We don't want one person to go through this. We know there will be, but on the day of the Lord, think about this. Think about your friends. Think about other your enemies going through this. Isaiah 13, verse 6. I'm reading from the Living Translation, the Day of the Lord. Scream in terror, for the day of the Lord has arrived. The time for the Almighty to destroy. Every arm is paralyzed with fear. Every heart melts, and the people are terrified. Pangs of anguish grip them like those of a woman in labor. They look helplessly at one another, their faces aflame with fear. For see, the day of the Lord is coming, the terrible day of fury, fierce anger, and the land will be made desolate, and all the sinners destroyed with it, and the heavens will be black above them, and the stars will give no light, and the sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will provide no light, and I, the Lord, will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their sin. I will crush the arrogance of the proud and humble the pride of the mighty. And I will make the people scarcer than gold, more rare than the fine gold of Ophir. For I will shake the heavens. The earth will move from its places when the Lord of the heavens armies displays the wrath in the day of this fierce anger. This needs to be not like, oh, they deserve that. Ha, I told them. You know, no, this needs to bring us to be praying that more people are called now. And the gospel is spread. So more of our friends, our enemies, others out there in the world don't have to go through this. Not that God needs them to spread the gospel, but Our love for them needs to be aroused during this, when we read a verse like that, that they won't have to go through that kind of terror. But some will. A lot will. That doesn't stop us from praying that a couple more would come. You know? It'll make a difference in those lives. Now till atonement, be thinking, be considering, where do I need to wake up spiritually? Like I said, think on that one thing. Whether you fast half a day or something on that, now is the time to wake up. Take that time to shout at ourselves a little and just say, come on. Be there for others. If someone asks you, hey, I'm dealing with this issue. And that's what brothers are here for. If we're struggling with something, go to one of your brothers. Ask him to help you, to pray about it. Whether you tell him what it is or not, be there for each other, to help each other wake up. I hope you all have an inspiring rest of the fall holy days, and have safe trips, and have a great day.